All right, take out your pencil and your lined paper. We're going to have a quiz. Hopefully this one will be a fun quiz and you won't feel like you don't know everything or you feel like you're surprised about it. All right, so this quiz is on the first lines to different songs and hymns and pieces of scripture. Are you ready? I'll give you a hint this time. What book starts with the line, "Call me Ishmael"? Anybody besides Andy? Moby Dick is correct. Number two on our, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're asking me those questions list is, it is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife. No? No English majors in the house. The answer is Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice. All right. Here we go. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Anybody? Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens. All right. These should be a little easier. There's a story of a lovely lady. The correct answer is the Brady Bunch. I'm going to try to say them in a way that doesn't make you go, oh, I know. I'm not going to try to sing the line. I'm afraid it'll give it away. All right. Andy, you're quiet this one. Thank you for being a friend. The Golden Girls is correct. Next, are you ready? They're creepy and they're kooky. The Addams Family. So no one told you life was going to be this way. Ooh, tricky. The sitcom was only on a few years. It was called Friends. I snuck one on you. All right. Who can turn the world on with her smile? Well, I'm thinking that most of you should have been able to lean into that one a little. Did everybody get that one? All right. Boy, the way Glenn Miller played. All in the Family. You have to phrase that one just right or it gives it away. Boy, the way Glenn Miller played. All right. This is a song that's a contemporary Christian song. It may be harder for some of you than others. Over the Mountains and the Seas. I could sing of your love forever. There's a point to this. Don't give up on me yet. All right, how about On a Hill Far Away? All right, I needed to get you back in here with me. You Call Me Out Upon the Waters. Anyone? It's called Oceans, and we sing it all the time now in the 11 o'clock service. How about, I'll skip that one. Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain, we all have sorrow. Yes, Lean on Me. All right, here's a hymn, so I'm expecting some of you to get this one. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, trust and obey. How about a psalm? It starts with the phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd." Psalm 23. I'm telling you, you'll understand. If I said the phrase, "Oh, say, can you see?" what song would that remind you of? All right, I'm trying to get everybody engaged here. There's a Rolling Stones song that starts off with, "You can't always get what you want." The key to that one is the phrase that's important is not, "You can't always get what you want," but it's that you find sometimes you get what you need. My favorite hymn at Christmas time is "What Child Is This?" It starts with a question, but it ends with a very clear answer. What I want you to hear me saying this morning is that sometimes what you hear from the cross is meant to be something in the future. that there's a point to Jesus saying, my God, why hast thou abandoned me? If you have a study Bible of any kind, you will probably get a reference to where that phrase comes from. My God, why hast thou abandoned me? I think it's a beautiful piece of work. If you'll turn in your, I'm using the Bible that's in front of you, page 500. Psalm 22. Can somebody read the first line of Psalm 22? Not the instructions to the choir master, but the actual line. It says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus from the cross says, see Psalm 22. The point we often get when we hear Jesus say, my God, why hast thou abandoned me, is Jesus feels abandoned. And I'm here to tell you today that according to this psalm, that's not what Jesus is trying to say. Remember, Jesus on the cross doesn't have a lot of breath. He can't say lots of words. It's a longer psalm than just saying, all right, let me start and read it really fast. He doesn't have enough breath, so he says the first line that reminds everybody of the whole psalm. But I want you to notice in verse 3, the first word in verse 3 is yet. My God, why hast thou abandoned me? Yet. And then verse 9, yet it was you who took me from the womb. And then the key to this whole thing, and it starts to turn around, is verse 19. What does verse 19 start with? But, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yet, but I will. And then it's like the fireworks blast off and the timpani rolls and everything starts coming to the crescendo. But you, O Lord, are not far from me. And there's this great sense of confidence all the rest of the time. I'm here to tell you that Jesus on the cross saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, is a sign of trust, because Jesus is saying, you have me. All of the words from the cross, pardon, assurance, compassion, and now trust, show up most clearly in the moment that those things seem to be the most missing. When we say God is great and loving and nice and kind, all-powerful and all-knowing and all-present, then everybody just thinks, oh, God's just really sweet and nice, and they don't have to deal with love is something that's incredible. If we only know joy and peace and love and hope and presence, we start to assume that they mean this much. But those folks who have gone through great suffering know to the depth of their suffering what joy really looks like. On the first Sunday of this series, the word was pardon. And I can tell you, we all need forgiveness. But who really, really needs forgiveness? The folks who really, really need forgiveness are the folks who have no idea that they're committing sins against God. It turns out that Jesus reaches out to the people in the greatest possible need for forgiveness to tell us the word about forgiveness. Who needs assurance? A convicted, guilty thief in the middle of an execution. There is just no hope. And Jesus says, today, you will be with me. Who really, really needs compassion? We all need compassion. But does the example of compassion get any more intense than Mary standing at the foot of the cross watching her son being crucified? And so who really needs trust. A person in the midst of despair and abandonment. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's a beautiful piece of scripture, but you can't stop after you read the first verse and say, oh, this one's not going to be a real uplifting psalm. Well, I think I'll put this down and skip ahead. This is actually the moment when hope can fill in the holes, where trust comes to bear. At one point I said, you know, some folks don't realize how much you love them until they desperately need for you to be able to forgive them and love them. It's easy for us to love those folks who are easy to love. It really doesn't show up. Unconditional love doesn't matter to folks who don't have any conditions that test your love. It's the folks who have conditions that make us have to be careful about saying love from God is unconditional. Who needs light? People who are in darkness. Who needs hope? People who are hopeless. Who needs love? The unloved need love. Who needs unconditional love? Those of us with conditions that we think are so great that God won't love us. Who needs help? People in the greatest need. I don't mind getting help at times, but for the most part, I don't need that much help. You know, but if there was a car on my leg, I'm thinking I could use some help. When I was listening to Andy sing, "In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus," all I could think, you know, most mornings for me, I'm in pretty good shape. I don't really need Jesus. I don't think that's what the guy was thinking when he wrote it. Who wrote it? I'd hate to say it was a guy and just be a... Okay, it was a guy. At least I didn't... But if in the morning you wake up and you just can't understand how you're going to make it through the day and you cry out, give me Jesus, it's a different song. For the most part, when I'm alone, I just don't have to worry about too much busyness. But there are folks who are so alone that it puts them in a place of great despair. If you read the song, the lyrics to the song with the awareness that that person may be just feeling so isolated they can't feel like they can breathe, that it's heavy on them, and then they say, give me Jesus, it's a different song. When I come to die. Now that one I get. I'm assuming that when I come to die, I'm going to want a little more Jesus. But maybe that we should be getting all through this song. In the morning's not that great for me, so give me Jesus. When I'm all alone, give me Jesus. You can have everything in the world as long as I have something that I can trust. Give me Jesus. Psalm 22, Jesus quoting just that little piece, is like us quoting pieces of song that remind us of something else. You can't always get what you want. That's not the whole point of the song. You find out. You get what you need. What child is this? Laid to rest, Mary's lap of sleeping. Just another baby? Nope. We know the point of the song. The people, the followers of Jesus, those folks, the Hebrews that were at the foot of the cross would have known when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That he wasn't asking for Elijah, but that he was saying, that there's a couple of but, a couple of yets and a but that's going to change what this means. I trust God. What's the last two verses of Psalm 22? Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to the people yet unborn, saying that he has done it. Jesus from the cross says that deliverance will be proclaimed to people yet unborn. When we hear, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus is remembering us. Because at that moment, we are people yet unborn. So I tell you that that statement from the midst of despair is actually a confident trust statement. Is it fair to expect that Jesus on the cross might feel this sense of isolation and disconnection from God when he approaches death on the cross? Yeah, I think that's a fair assumption to make. Is it fair to think that he sees hope from where he hangs? Yeah, I think that's a fair assumption. Some biblical scholars want to talk about this particular psalm as if it's written just for this purpose, to be fulfilled in this moment. And I think it's easier to perceive it as Jesus knows the psalms, and this is the one that tells you exactly how he's feeling. It feels like despair, but I'm telling you, I got trust. And I think the place that this makes a difference for us today is that it leaves room for us to be absolutely honest and totally unapologetic in our prayer life with God. To say, I hope so, but man, I feel like worthless junk, garbage. This last word gives us permission to express our agony, to express lament inside our relationship with God. It doesn't scare God away to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The psalmist said it first, and Jesus says the psalmist was right. These moments do not cut us off or distance us from God. These moments of agony or lament or feeling disconnected, they actually aren't disconnecting us. These are honest, intimate moments which speak from our deepest spirit and are part of our relationship with God. These moments of agony are part of our relationship with God. We have room to see trust at work. We can recognize that trust is required of Jesus, and it is requested of us to trust God even in trying times. In these moments, out of the depths of pain and agony, Jesus sings a song which begins with lament and ends with hope. It is Good Friday and Easter connected together in one phrase. In this intense moment of prayer, we discover that it is honest and fair to come to God angry or sad or frustrated or unhappy. You see, it's not that God seeks a Pollyanna, always uplifting relationship with us. It's that God seeks an intimate, deep relationship with us. Bring me your pain. I'm there with you. We don't expect that from our closest friends. Why would we expect it from God? God seeks a deep, intimate, honest relationship, seeks to connect with the real you, the real me. God loves the real you, honest, authentic, just as we are. So I say, bring God your pain and your agony. God's love heals us. Bring God your hopelessness or loneliness because God restores life. It's inside our relationship with God. God takes suffering and pain and transforms it into this amazing new life. On the cross, right now, we see God snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. Don't you think that God wants the kind of connection to us that is honest and open and sometimes even raw rather than a pretend nice relationship? No one needs a flashlight during the daylight. We need trust, not when everything's easy to trust. We need trust when it feels like it's almost impossible to trust. We don't need Easter except in response to the cross. We don't need Easter except for Good Friday. If Good Friday didn't happen, we wouldn't need Easter. More than anything else, God wants relationship. So don't feel like you have to pretend to be nice. God seeks a stronger and more mature faith, more and more trust in harder and harder times. It seems to me if there's one thing I'm learning in my lifelong faith journey, it's that the more I learn about pain and suffering and disconnection, the more I see God clearly all the time. But it's only because I was desperate to find God in those places of darkness. Which kind of tells us we grow from our brokenness, that it's in the healing moment that we get stronger. I hate to say, those people with the strongest faith are the ones that have had the roughest time. Don't go out just to have a rough time so you can feel stronger in your faith. Just be in relationship with God and follow God where God leads you and see what happens. No one needs a flashlight during the daylight. No one needs peace until they're without peace. No one needs love until they're without love. No one needs hope until it feels hopeless. And today we find out that when Jesus says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That Jesus was saying, I will trust you. Generations will learn about your love from this moment. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, there are times when we pray out of a sense of forsakenness and abandonment, and we long for our connection to you. Hold us tight during those times when our eyes are closed or we're aiming the wrong direction and looking away so that we can see later that you had us all the while. Help us to learn as we grow in our relationship with you, as we journey together with you, that you seek honest relationship, authentic relationship with each of us. Help us to trust you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.